Say with me, experience. Say experience. Now, I need you to get something tonight that is very powerful. So again, say experience. You see, it is experience when you experience God's signs and His wonders. It is through this that we get to know Him. And this changes the whole course of our lives. Amen. I can preach the gospel to you, but if I can convince you into Christianity, I can convince you out of it. But an encounter, an experience with God is something that will stick for eternity. That is something that no one can take away from you. It have happened. Say experience. Listen, you need to understand that when Moses was walking in the wilderness and he saw a burning bush. Now, even me just saying this, many people will go like, oh, now here we go again, Bible story, Moses and the burning bush. And the reason why that is because as children, we have been brought up with a watered down gospel where the true power that is locked up in the message have been removed. But I want you to open your hearts to something that I want to give to you that will change the whole course of your life, of your spiritual walk with God. Amen. And so this man was walking and he saw this burning bush and he stopped and he said, but wait, something is out of the ordinary. Now you need to understand that Moses was a man that carried great destiny and that carried great purpose. You need to understand that the salvation of an entire nation was locked up on the inside of him, and that it took him to be sensitive and alert to the circumstances around him. If he was not alert to something out of the ordinary, he would have missed it. And so he stopped and said, wait, hang on, something is not right. Something is different than usual. Although this bush is burning, consumed and saturated with fire, it is not burning out. And he stopped. And his attention was taken to the sign and to the wonder taking place right before his eyes. And so the attention of an entire nation was turned to a sign and to a wonder. And so God started to speak and he said that, listen, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people and I have seen their oppression and I have remembered them. I want to tell you tonight that you are at the right place at the right time, that God has seen your circumstances and that he has remembered you, and that tonight something is about to take place. And so God said, listen, Moses, I will make you like me. He said, I will make you like me. You will be like God. And I will send your brother Aaron with you, and he shall be your prophet. And with my signs and my wonders, you shall go and deliver my people from without of their oppression. Say signs and wonders. I'm speaking about a different dimension tonight. Say experience. And God spoke to him in saying, he asked God, listen, who will I say have sent me? His first encounter with God. God said, I am that I am. This you will tell to the children of Israel, that I am hath sent me unto you. Tell them that I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, a God of generation. This is my name forever and unto all generations. And so we knew through that experience, through that encounter, that he was about to be sent out with kingdom authority, facing a king that is not of this earth. Amen. He was sent by one that is enthroned in heaven. Although the one that he was about to face is enthroned on earthly dimensions, one of the most powerful kings at the time, he was not afraid. Because through experience, he have gotten to know who his God is. Amen. And so they were sent, and through God's signs and wonders, an entire nation was set free. And the Bible says that they were led by a pillar of fire by night and by a pillar of cloud by day. Through that experience, through that encounter, it enabled Moses to stand and to say, I command these waters to open up. And it opened up. Say experience. And they were led to a certain mountain. Say a certain place. To Mount Sinai, where God said, Moses, I want to meet my people face to face. I want to speak to them face to face. Tell them to gather at the base of this mountain. And so the Bible says that fire came down upon this mountain, and that a dark cloud surrounded it. As God started to speak, the foundations of the earth started to shake. Can you imagine? And with a voice of thunder and lightning, God started to speak. And the Bible says that they were sorely afraid. Nonetheless, it was through this experience and through this encounter that Joshua could stand and say, I command the sun and the moon to stand still. And it stood still. He was sent with kingdom authority. He was at the right place at the right time. It was because of experience and encounter that Joshua could go in and took on a city that have never been conquered. Every army that have ever laid siege against this city have never prevailed, but eternity invaded this earth, and God stepped in and said that I accept the challenge. And it took one man at the right place at the right time to say that I command these walls to come down. And the walls came crumbling down. Listen, you need to understand that it did not just come down. The Bible says that it was made level with the earth. Say experience. It was when David was standing face to face with a beast, with a lion. I'm not speaking about the lions as you know it today. The Bible calls it a beast. That he knew who his God was. And the Bible says that he ripped that lion to pieces. And he threw it to one side as if it was nothing. It was through that encounter. It was through that experience. That he could go step down into that valley. And face a man that was seven times his size. The only thing that he saw standing in front of him was a man standing in front of the promise that God had given the children of Israel. And he started to speak with the voice of heaven, with the sound of heaven, with authority from a place that is not of this place. And he said, today God have delivered you into my hands. And this man came falling down at his feet, and he severed his head. Say experience. The common denominator to all of these stories is that this man was found at the right place at the right time, and they were sensitive to the surroundings, open to signs and to wonders. I'm speaking about a location tonight. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you are at the right place at the right time. Turn to your other neighbor and say, have you ever seen a sign and a wonder of God? Tell your neighbor, you're looking right into the eyes of a sign and a wonder that is about to be made manifest. Come on, give God a praise offering. Say location. You need to understand the importance of location. You are not here by chance because you join the service every Sunday evening. Even before time began, God has ordained it. You have been exclusively chosen by the hands of God to be here tonight. Location is of the utmost importance. I've told this story many times before, but it's Paul that said that I will bring you into remembrance. Let me bring you into remembrance the importance of location. The Bible speaks of four men that brought a friend. This friend was sick and paralyzed his entire life. And they carried him on a mat. And the Bible says that they went to a certain house. Say a certain house. Now you need to understand that this house was prophetically chosen by Jesus because it had a weak roof. Now the Bible says that when they arrived at this location, they found that the place was filled, that there was no room inside or out because the crowds have already filled it up. But they decided, listen, we have came here tonight with a purpose, out of desperation, and we're not going to turn around. We have heard of one that can restore. We have heard of one that can heal. We have heard of one that can uplift. We have heard of one that can liberate. And I'm not going to turn around, and I'm not going to leave until I receive what I have come here for. Say location. You need to understand the importance of location. For you to understand the spiritual significance of the story, you need to understand the design of the houses in biblical times. The Bible says that they were designed in such a way that the rooftops were used as gathering places. In other words, you were at staircases running up the side leading to the top, with balustrades, stanchions and railings to prevent you from falling off and getting injured. Now the Bible says that when they arrived, that there was no room inside. So why was no one on top of the roof? Because they knew that it had a weak roof and that it might cave in and someone might get injured. But what was seemed as a weakness, what seemed as a weakness to those in the natural, was looked upon as a blessing and a point of breakthrough to make it to the feet of the King. For those that could perceive spiritual things. And the Bible says that they made their way to the top and they broke through. And the eyes of eternity look up as this man came down and he was placed at Jesus' feet. And right at that moment, the word of God opened his mouth and he said but a few words, but he spoke with authority that impacted the whole room. And he said, son, your sins are forgiven. He did not look upon the sickness. He didn't care about the man's situation. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Stand up, take your mat and walk. When authority came into that room and the word of God was released, the Bible says that the man was instantly healed, and that he stood up in full view of everyone, and that he walked out. Listen, the Bible says that in glorification to him, to God, that the people responded, and that we have never seen anything like this. Listen, this man came in sick and paralyzed his entire life, but he did not leave the same way. You have come here tonight in a certain state, but I want to tell you that you're not going to leave the same that you have come here tonight. The Bible says, very truly I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this. Listen, I am speaking about the supernatural power of attorney. I'm speaking about a different dimension tonight. I'm only getting started. Man, I got a word. Oh, I got a word locked up in my bones tonight. Tonight I'm going to preach this thing. Amen. I'm not speaking about a dimension where your prayers is merely just being answered. It is good that your prayers are being answered, but it impacts only you. And maybe the few that you testify to. But a sign and a wonder impacts an entire region. A sign and a wonder impacts an entire nation. A sign and a wonder impacts an entire generation. I'm telling you, you're about to enter into a dimension where you will become a sign and a wonder. And they will look at you and they will say that we have never seen anything like this. Come on off you, if you believe this, give God a praise offering. I've got so much that I want to share, my time. Before you can walk in these dimensions, you need to understand what it means when I say that you have got the supernatural power of attorney. What does it mean? The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, I think it is, King James Version, put that on for me. Let me first see what it says before I... Yes. I don't make mistakes. I once thought I made a mistake, but then I was wrong. That's the only mistake I ever made. That's just to irritate the religious people. Amen. And it says, supernatural power of attorney. But as many as received him. Received who? our Lord and Savior, King Jesus Christ, the light, the way, the truth, and the life. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, if you know no verse in the Bible, and you know only this one, but I'm speaking about having revelation and truly living this, only this one verse, everything in your life will change. That word power means authority. It means exousia power. It means that you have been given the right to become and to be called the son and the daughter of the Almighty God. It means that you have been given the right to exercise kingdom power. It means that you have been given the right to take dominion. It means that you have been given the right to take over. Meaning that where you go, listen, it means that where you go, the natural surrounding around you have to bow down to you. It means that where your feet touches the ground, that ground have got to become your territory. Whatever atmosphere you step into has got to become subject to you, because you are a son and a daughter of God. It is a principle of heaven. It is called authority. Ish. I'm only getting started, but I have to close off. Say authority. Before you can move in this unquestionable dominion, you need to understand God's original intent. Why man was created. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 8, King James Version, verse 4 to verse 6. And it says, what is man? And I love this verse. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? And verse 5 it says, now listen to this. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with what? With glory and honor. Listen, only those that stand in authority can be crowned with glory and honor. If you cannot accept and step in your divine purpose, there will be no authority, and you can carry not glory and honor. Amen. And then in verse 6 it goes on, it says, thou madest him to have dominion, say dominion, over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This passage of scripture shows us exactly how man was made, why man was made, and it shows us his level, measure of authority and dominion. Listen, we are dealing with two aspects here. We are dealing with how man was made. We are dealing with the second aspect, the setting, the placement, and the establishment of man. Now the Bible says, and I think we all can quote this verse by now, King James Version again, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, meaning let us, God said, let us, God the Father, the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them, say them, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and listen to this, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And then it goes on and says, so God created man in his own image. And the image of God created him. Male and female created them. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. If you go study this verse and you read it in the original language, it read as follows. Like God, a dead God, make man. Like God, a dead God, make man. Like God, dead God, make man. Listen, God's very original intent was to duplicate himself. And so he made man in his own image. So he made man like himself. The Bible says again, Psalm chapter 5 verse 8, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now we all understand that when Pastor Leon, I've spoken on this before, and he said that this word angels means God. So in the divine order, God have made man a little lower than himself. It is first God, then man, and then angels. Angels have never been made to be higher than man. They have been made to serve God and to serve man. They are not, angels are not called the sons of God. But the Bible says that whosoever believe on his name, those are the ones that have received the authority. Those are the ones that have received the right. Those are the ones that have received the power to be called the sons and the daughters of the Almighty true living God. So God's original intent, man was created to be very powerful. Man was created to be very powerful. Amen. I have to close off. 5 prophetic minutes. The very foundational truth when looking at Genesis is established upon the fact or upon the establishment of God's divine order. Divine order is very important to understand, because if you break the order, if you change the order, you change the flow. And Satan understands to attack order, because he understands that when he attacks the order, that it will have a domino effect. It will have a ripple effect on the very course of events. Amen. In divine order, man have been created first. And so the highest spiritual authority that had been placed upon this earth was man, that God made to look like himself. The problem with many believers is that they cannot understand the difference between power and authority. It's not the same thing. Which brings me to a question. In God's original intent, when man was first created, how much authority did he have? Could his authority be measured? If I tell you that I am the mayor of a country, then you know that my sphere of influence is regional. You know my level of authority. If I tell you that I am the senator, then you know my sphere of influence. But if I say that I am the president, then I have authority over all. So how much authority did the original man have when he was created? Listen, dominion is very important when it comes to God. And it is very important to understand dominion, because when it comes to God, the dominance is very specific. It is never just general. For example, you can test your effectiveness by where you have been placed. You can even test your level of authority by where you've been placed. Amen. How do you do this? You can easily discern whether you are still operating within your own jurisdiction or whether you are intruding in another man's jurisdiction. Because you cannot go where God have not sent you, and you cannot stand where God have not placed you. You cannot stand where God have set you. You cannot stand where God have established you. The problem with this is that if God does not recognize the place where you stand, then the enemy will not recognize the place where you stand. And this will give him full right to attack you. It will be wise of you to understand your level, your territory. Amen. So how much authority did man have? The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 2, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, all things were made by God. But the Bible says that God have given man all dominion over the works of his hands. This will explain why a man could tell the sun and the moon to stand still and it stood still. This will explain why a man could command the waters to open up and it opened up. This will explain why a man could call back time and time was reversed. If a man under in a fallen state, because the scenarios that I've just quoted is all out of the Old Testament where Jesus Christ have not yet died, the natural order have not yet been restored. So if a man in a fallen state under covenant could command such things, how much authority then did the original man have? Understand that Adam came directly from God. There was no influence of man. Man was not involved in his creation. God breathed his breath of life directly into Adam and he became a living soul. The very existence of man is based upon the fact that God created man in his own image and likeness. And so Adam was the only man outside of Jesus that had full authority. We as believers do not have full authority. Our authority is jurisdictional. Meaning, what is your purpose? What is your call? Where have you been placed? This will tell you your level of authority and your sphere of influence. But now everything comes in measure. And you can increase that measure of authority. How do you do this? If you step into the relationship, say location, man, you are at the right place. Because if you step into a relationship with someone that has got a higher level of authority and jurisdiction, it gives you natural access to that level of authority and jurisdiction. But it does not end there. If that man stands under a covering, under someone that has got even a higher level of authority and jurisdiction, that even gives you access to that higher level. I've got, I need to end. Let me close off. There's so much that I want to share. Say the power of attorney. What does this mean? Satan needed authority. This is what happened. The reason why God gave Adam all authority is because of Satan's influence. When Satan was casted out of heaven, he took one third of heaven's angels with him. Listen, you need to understand that you have got great influence to manipulate heavenly beings. He influenced one third of heaven, but he left heaven only with power, not with authority. And he needed authority. And so the only thing that he could do, because he knew that he could not get that authority from God, he found himself in a place called Eden, where there was one that walked, talked, and sounded exactly like him. And so authority was gone from Eve to Adam, and Adam fell, and it was given to the enemy Satan. And so man lost authority, all authority. That is why in the Old Testament you will see that there's no casting out of demons, because that anointing was not available. That authority had been taken and removed. Say, but God. Say again, say, but God. He will always find a way to restore the original intent. For on the cross of Calvary, there was a document signed on your behalf by the blood of the Lamb. That document is the power of attorney. Do you know what the power of attorney is? If you sign a document called the power of attorney, John Henry, you can correct me in this. It means that I give you, let's say, Eckhart, just come here. Just stand here. Let's say this is the letter of power of attorney. Just take it now, you give it to me. It means that he gives full right to me over everything that belongs to him. Listen, in an essence, I become him. There was a document signed by the blood of the Lamb. Your ledger has been cleansed. The original intent has been restored. Authority has been given back. The authority to exercise kingdom power. The authority to take over. The authority to take dominion. Listen, the Bible says, and I'll close up with this. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2, King James Version, and it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You have been given power and authority. When Christ had went into the grave, he took the keys of sin and death. He removed that authority from his hands. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And the Bible says that as he was raised by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life. Because if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also so be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm speaking about a new mindset. You see, the problem with this is, the problem is this. Until your mind has been renewed and your life has been transformed, the fallen man will always reoccur. The fall will always come back. There will be a cycle. Who's sitting in this place tonight can say, you know what, I'm tired of cycles. I am tired of cycles. I need some cycles in my life to be broken. There's some cycles in my life that needs to be removed. Who can say that I'm tired of certain cycles? That I need a reset button. I need my mind to be renewed. I need to be transformed. I am tired of these cycles. I need something new tonight. Listen, if you need a touch from God, I need you to run to the front.